Right, this is your number one talk radio station. A very good morning to you and welcome and thanks for choosing us. And we see you, we value you, and we love you for choosing Eagle FM. And we love being in your company. So good morning. It's a Monday morning, the 22nd of June, and the year is 2025. So how is your morning? Wherever you're listening us from, whether you're listening us from Windhoek, Rundu, Katima, you know, Vergenoeg, Karasburg, you know, Wavish Bay, Swakopmund, you know, Kerkfurt, Opuwo. So where are you listening us from? Welcome to your number one talk radio stations. My name is Mike Oshavelli. And David, thank you for handing over the mic, and we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. So this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what really going on in terms of business, economics, and political news. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear. And always curious, asking the question that matters and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your platform. This is your space. To unpack the headlines with me and get to the heart of the stories. So, good morning. If you're just joining us, 2 minutes is past eight, and you are tuning to Unpacking the Day. It's a Monday morning. Actually, the weather have changed. The weather have improved. It's not that as cold as it was last week. Last week it was really, really, really cold. Yeah, no, it has changed a little bit. It's still good weather, but it's not as cold as it was last week. So hopefully, it stays the same. You know, it stays like this. I would have loved the cold that we had last week. Yeah, I prefer that kind of cold, you know? Yeah, so I become more alive and all that. All right, so this is Unpacking the Day. As usual, we first of all look at on this day in Africa. We go back into history to find out on this day what happened on this day in Africa. So welcome back. You know, welcome to On This Day in Africa. So today we are flipping through the pages of history to see what happened on this day on the 22nd of June. Now, let's wind the clock back to 1990. Nelson Mandela stepped up to the microphone at the United Nations to speak to a special committee fighting against apartheid. His message to the world was clear and simple. Do not look away. So he urged the international community to keep the pressure on South Africa, South Africa's apartheid government, and keep the sanction in place and keep pushing for change. So that was on the 22nd of June 1990. Now, jumping ahead to 2019, we remember a dark and a turbulent, you know, day in Ethiopia. There was a failed attempt to take over the government, a coup in the Amara region. So the plot didn't succeed, but it ended in a tragedy. Four top officials were killed in the violence, including the country's army chief of staff, General Sare Mekonnen. So he was also killed in that attempted coup. Finally, today is not just about looking back. We're not just looking back in history. It's also about looking at the world around us. June 22nd marks two very, very, very different but very important days for the continent. First, First up is the World Rainforest Day. Today is the World Rainforest Day. When people think of rainforest, they usually think of the Amazon. But today is a great reminder for the massive, massive Congo Basin and Africa, others and Africa's other vital forest. So they are, as we know, they are the lungs of the continent. But wait, there is more. Today is also a World Camel Day. Okay, a World Camel Day. And if you live in North Africa, if you live in North or Eastern Africa, you know camel. And they're not just desert animals. We have few here, but it's just for tourists in Swakopmund. Haven't seen camels anywhere else. So now you know that they are absolutely lifelines in those part of Africa, North Africa and East Africa. So they are deeply tied to the local economy, traditions, and daily survival for millions of people. So yeah, today is World Camel Day. So whether you are reflecting on the fight for freedom or remembering life lost, or just taking a moment to appreciate the continent's incredible forest and wildlife, there is a lot to think about on this day. So thanks for tuning in into On This Day in Africa. So we'll be back after this break.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back and a very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So, and let's look at our thought for the day. What is our thought for the day on the 22nd of June, on Monday? So there's an African proverb that says, the one who asks questions never loses the way. It's an African proverb that the one who asks questions never loses the way. So the message is simple. You know, there is no shame in asking for help, seeking advice, or admitting that you don't know anything, or you don't know something, not that you don't know anything. So, in fact, asking questions is often the fastest path, actually, to wisdom and growth. So too many people stay silent because they are afraid of looking uninformed. But people who learn, improve, and move forward are usually the ones who are willing to ask. A question can save you time, can prevent mistakes and open doors you never knew existed. So today, don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to ask. Whether it's about your work, about your relationship, about your finances, about your dreams, you know, curious, be curious. Curiosity is not a weakness, even if it has killed a cat. So curiosity is not a weakness. It is a strength. It is a strength. As you go throughout the day today, I wish you a wonderful day. And remember the person who keeps asking questions is the person who keeps finding the right path. That's our thought for the day. And good morning to you if you're just joining us. It's a Monday morning. And I hope it's not a blue Monday for you. It's quite a good Monday for me. It's a very green, if color mean anything. So for me, it's green, very green. Yeah? All right. So you're welcome. So yeah, what are we looking at today? So the one thing If you're looking for the latest economic and business news, you know, one thing that you got to do, you have to subscribe to The Villagers. So for you to be able to get yourself a free copy of The Villager, you know, and what you need to do is simply, you know, sending a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-200-4144. 081-200-4144. So, and The Villager, if you are new here, it's published, you know, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So make sure that you subscribe. And I says, it's for free. If you love business and economic news or update, make sure that you become part of the family. All right? Become part of the family. So today we're looking at the story, one of the articles there by Pene Hambeko, Jonas. So, yeah, the global economic uncertainty poses a significant challenges to Namibia's ability to achieve the ambitious goal outlined in its sixth national development plan. So that's what we're going to look at. We're going to go into that. And the other thing that the second story that we can look at, someone suggested this. We go into it. We talked about it last time. It's establishing an independent tax court, which addresses a long-standing constitutional concern in Namibia. But the challenge lies in creating a specialized system that serves the need of justice without outstripping the capacity of constrained national economies. So we're going to go into that if we have time and look at this and look at this independent tax code that is being suggested by the ministry, that's being established by the Ministry of Finance. All right. So, and of course, your participation will also be part of the show as usual. So you made the show. Make sure that you unpack this with me. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a second.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right. So, yeah, that's true. If you want to stay connected with Eagle FM anytime, anywhere, doesn't matter where you are, whether you are in Namibia or outside of this country, you could be anywhere. At Alaska, you could be in Alaska, the furthest, is that the furthest part of the world? You know, you could be somewhere in green, island? Green something. So you'll be able, wherever you are, you can listen to Eagle FM. And you can do that by just, first of all, I mean, if you are now in a car and you're getting into your work, you can listen to the website. You know, you can just Eagle FM, you know, and you go to our website and you can continue to listen to your favorite show, Unpacking the Day. And also, you can also download your Eagle FM mobile app. And once you have done that, you can listen to Eagle FM wherever you are. So, and that's not the only thing. It's not just about listening. The other thing is that, you know, if you missed, for example, if you missed a show, if you missed Unpacking the Day or Early Morning Scoop, you will not be able to listen. You can go to the podcast and listen, you know, and just listen. The whole program is there. So there are news, there are schedules, there are of different shows, there are vacancies sometimes, there are so many features on there. So make sure that download the Eagle FM mobile app. All right, and then don't forget to follow Eagle FM and The Villager on our social platform. On social media platform, we are on X, we are on LinkedIn, we are on Instagram, we are on Facebook, Telegram, you know, WhatsApp channel. So make sure that you are part of that and be engaged with us. Engage with us on these social media platforms. Make sure that you leave a like there or a comment, you know. So make sure that you do that. Be part of the family. All right? All right, and good morning to you. If you're just joining us, good morning. Good morning, Namibia. You are listening to Unpacking the Day. And I'm your host, Big Mike. So the Bank of Namibia has raised the repo rate again, as you remember, moving it from 6.5% to 6.75%, you know, percent. Well, on paper, that may look like when you look at that, 6.50 to 6.75, you know, on paper that look like small. That's just a small increase, but but for anyone with if you have a home loan, if you have a vehicle loan, or if you have a business debt, yeah, maybe your business have debt, it could mean higher. It could mean higher, you know, monthly repayment. You know, it looked like a small percentage, you know. So, but if you have those home loan, vehicle loan, a business debt, it could mean actually higher monthly repayment and more pressure on already stretched, for many people, stretched budget. So, and why? So now, looking at why this is actually happening, so when you look at the bigger context, it's a big part of the big part of the answer. It lies far beyond Namibia's border. Also, you understand, and so the rising tensions that we know that is in the Middle East. Well, a subsidized, it's getting, you know, there has been. All right, so could have been a break then. So, yeah, I'm asking that, you know, why this is happening, you know, why this is happening. As I said, that's a big part of the big part of the answer. It lies even beyond Namibia's border. It's not something that, so there are other things that we are responsible for, but there are other things as well that we aren't responsible for, like the rising tension, the tension in the Middle East. You know, the uncertainty, there are also that uncertainty in a global market, and a concern about higher oil prices are creating also inflation, a risk around the world. So, yeah. So, and when you look at this thing, we didn't start this conflict. We didn't ask for them, and yet they're impacting. Their impact is finding its way into our economy, and of course, ultimately into your pocket. Eh? So, as I said, it's something that we haven't asked for. It's something that we, you know, we didn't start ourselves. But as I said, the impact of that is actually finding our way into our economy and also definitely into our pockets. So, at the very same time. At the very same time, our government is pushing ahead with the, remember our 6th National Development Plan, better known as MDP6. Eh? You remember that? Don't forget it already. Are you forgetting that already? Eh? That's ambitious. That's an ambitious plan. That's an ambitious vision that we have, a plan built around economic growth, you know, industrialization, job creation, remember? Skill development. Those are some of the ambitious visions that the goals that we have. You know, grow our economy, industrialization, job creation, skill development, and the goal of building more self-reliant Namibia by 2030. Remember, by 2030. So now, but here's the question. We need to ask ourselves this morning, okay? Can Namibia then achieve those goals when the global economy keep throwing new challenges our way? Now, we see there's always the challenges. Sometimes we have, and this is, that has become, it's not an excuses, because that's a fact that is happening. So we may plan, we may have these ambitious visions of growing our economy, building our economy and industrialization, creating jobs and all this. But, you know, my question is, now, we can Namibia achieve those goals? I will be able to achieve those goals when the global economy keeps throwing new challenges on our way, on our way. So can we create jobs when borrowing money becomes more expensive? Are we able to do that when now borrowing money becomes expensive? Are we able to do that? Can business expand when interest rates are rising? Can we stay focused on long-term development when international crises keep disrupting the economy environment? So those, now, these are, well, they are not easy questions, all right? But they are very important ones. So they are very important ones. So grab your coffee. It's still cold, you know, grab your coffee, settle in, you know, stay with us here on Unpacking. Today we are unpacking whether Namibia's development ambitions can survive in a world that seems to be, seem to become more uncertain with every passing month. So can Namibia development ambition survive? So make sure that you also check the article, you read the article in today's edition of The Villager. All right, let's get into it, okay? So why did the repo rate go up? Why did it go up? So why did the Bank of Namibia raise the repo rate? There are two main reasons. Okay, we're going to break that. Let's break that into simple terms. Two main reasons. The first reason is our currency system. Okay? That's the first reason. Namibia dollar is tied directly to South African rand. One Namibia dollar equals $1, one rand. So, and think of it like, this you have to think of it like two boats tied together with a rope. Or any other things. Okay? If one boat moves, the other has to move too. We are like that, but it's always that when South Africa moves, we move too. It's not the other way around. It's not from our part. Now that arrangement give us, they said, as we, some of us maybe not know this more deeply, but they say that that arrangement give us stability, which is important. Okay, that's what they said. It give us stability, which is very important. But it also means we don't have a complete freedom to set our own monetary policy. Do you understand? That's also what it means. So we don't have a complete freedom to set our own monetary policy. So when South Africa changes direction, Namibia often has to follow in order to protect the currency peg and keep money flowing smoothly through the economy. So we have to. And the Bank of Namibia has repeatedly said that protecting the one-to-one link between the Namibia dollar and the rand remain one of its key priorities. Keep saying that. They said that. They're repeatedly saying that protecting that one-to-one link between the Namibian dollar and rand, it's one of its key priorities. So now the second reason is inflation. When fuel prices, as we have seen, when fuel prices rise, transport becomes more expensive. As we have seen, it has become more expensive. Tax fare went up, petrol went up, diesel went up. So when transport becomes more expensive, the cost of good goes up as well. You understand? So before long, families are paying more for everyday necessities. So it's all going to fall on you. So the Bank of Namibia response, why the Bank of Namibia's response, it's actually to raise interest rates. It's raising the interest rate. The idea is to slow. Now, the idea of raising the interest rate is actually to slow to slow spending and borrowing, eh? So which can help now keep inflation under control. So now the recent increase was also linked to concern about rising oil prices, as we all know, and growing global uncertainty. So that it was linked to much of that. But here's the part that affects you directly. So when the repo rate goes up, borrowing becomes more expensive. So, and if you go into the article, so there has been some interview of people who, some financial expert of entrepreneurs who actually explain, you know, how borrowing becomes more expensive. So if you have a home loan, for example, your monthly repayment may increase. It may increase. If you are paying off a vehicle, your installment could go up. And if you are a small business owner, hoping to borrow money to expand or buy equipment or hire more stuff, that loan became a little more expensive too. That has become now, you know. And when you're looking at this, while the higher interest rate may help protect the currency and keep inflation in check, they also place extra pressure now on household and businesses. So they're placing an extra pressure on your household budget and also on your business. So now, which brings us to an important question. Who carries the cost? Now, who's carrying that cost? Who carried the cost of protecting the currency peg and the fighting inflation? The high interest rate that the bank has increased. So who carries the cost of protecting now that, as I said, the two reasons that I gave you from them, the currency peg and the fighting inflation. Of course, is it the bank? Is it the big banks? Or is it the ordinary people? Is it ordinary Namibian trying to pay the people who are now trying to pay a bond, a person who trying to keep a business running, and put food on the table? So that is actually the persons who actually carries that cost of protecting the currency peg and fighting inflation. Yeah? And that's something worth actually thinking about. It's something worth actually, you know, think about. So now, let's get now to the whole thing, to the big plan, when the big plans meet the reality, okay? So now let's talk about now the NDP6, okay? So this is Namibia's big development blueprint, as we know, running from 2025, 2026 to 2030 to 2031. So it meant to give us a closer vision to Vision 2030 that we had for years. It carries big priorities or big promises. So industrialization, job creation, you know, better education, health system. And when we look at all this, we seem to be going in a different direction. we're actually going the other way. We're going we're going in the wrong direction. So, yeah, so that's what it's supposed to. It carries big promises and stronger, more self-reliant economy. That's what it should be. So when you look at the document itself, it's very bold, very, very, very bold, you know? Yeah, so, but here's where now the conversation shift. So here's the conversation shift. So, and we're going to talk
about this. Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. It's 30 minutes past the hour of 8. And I'll be with you until 10 o'clock, when we'll be handing over to Tate Franz, coming with Kuthamosha. So make sure that you are tuned in for that show as well. All right, so we talk about now this, our big promises, you know, meeting reality now. So, and as I said, now this is when the conversation actually shifts. The governor of the Bank of Namibia has pointed out something important. So when the economy is hit by outside shock, like global conflict, fuel prices spikes up, or inflation, as we're talking about, inflation pressure, government often has to redirect money. All right? So money that was meant now for, let's say, for a long-term development project, sometimes get used to cushion citizen from immediate pain, like what they have done when it came to oil. Prices went up, for fuel prices went up. So, yeah. So the money that was meant now for a long-term development project, sometime get used to cushion citizen from immediate pain, as I said, like rising food and fuel prices. So, and we have seen that. Now, think about, consider now this whole redirection, okay, of development project, long-term development project. So what does that mean? So fund that we're supposed to build factories, okay, expand skilled training maybe, because part of that is skill development in NDP6. You know, funds that were meant to expand skills training, maybe, or growing new industries, can end up now being used just to keep the bread affordable. You understand? Now it can be used now to keep the bread affordable, fuel within reach as well, as we have seen. So that's what the governor talked about. The governor of the Bank of Namibia talked about. So both are, and then what you have to understand is also that both are important. Yes, both are important, but of course they serve a very different purpose. One builds the development project would be the development project would be building your the, it's the one that builds tomorrow, you know. The other, now if you redirect that, you need to redirect that money actually to help us get through the day. Yeah. So, and as I said, both are important. If the government doesn't do that, you know, we will die of hunger. Eh? So we will die of hunger, or fuel prices will be so much higher that we can't afford it. So as I said, both are, yes, both. It's very important, but they serve a different purpose. And that leads us to a difficult question now. A difficult question. How many times, think about this seriously, okay? How many times has Namibia launched a major development plan? How many times? And only to see part of that plan slow down or completely not achieved. Okay? Slow down or reshaped or delayed, sometimes by forces that are outside of our control. Like now what we're talking about, the tensions in the Middle East or whatever, and then there's a disruption in terms of, you know, oil distributions, channels, whatever. So, you see, and now looking at, we had how many NDPs? We are NDP1. We started from one anyway. NDP1, NDP2, NDP3. Some of you don't even know what is in those NDPs. NDP4, NDP5, and now NDP6. Yeah? Each one comes with hope. All those came with hope. Each one comes with ambitions. Eh? But the thing is, the pattern, I think the pattern now, when you look at the pattern, you know, of being the pattern of being slowed down or reshaped or being delayed by certain forces, or and though some forces, as I said, some forces are outside of our control, but some forces are our own doing. So the pattern raises a serious concern. Is there an NDP that we actually said, yes, we achieve 80% of that NDP? Go to any of the NDP. Go through it. Is there an NDP that you can point out and said, yes, NDP 2 or NDP 4, we achieved that 80%? Not at all. Not even 50%. Believe you me, not even 50%. Because if we would have actually built, because those NDPs are kind of like they build on each other. Eh? If you achieve NDP 1, 50%, that your NDP 2 is actually built on that and like that. Yeah? Not even 50%. Are we actually moving forward? Now, ask yourself seriously. Are we, when you look at it in the bigger picture as a country, are we moving forward in a straight line of progress? Eh? Are we? Or are we stuck running in place? Eh? Constantly adjusting, constantly reacting, eh? Constantly trying to catch up with circumstances we didn't create. Eh? So, and that is the problem at the heart of NDP6 at this point in time. That's the tension at the heart of NDP6. Big dream on one side and hard reality on the other. Eh? That's the problem. So we have these big dreams and there's a reality that we need to be facing. So now there are also something that I mentioned in the article. So and here is the part that really I think get to the heart of the matter now. Okay? So there is bigger issue we don't talk about enough. Or do we do? I think we do it here, but I don't think we do talk it enough as a national discourse. You know, across Africa, we have country like Rwanda, country like Senegal, even Uganda. Tanzania also to a certain extent, you know, these are countries that are pushing ahead. You know, read a lot about this country. Check about, you know, these are countries that are pushing a lot. And a big part of their progress is not just about, you know, the traditional way of extracting from the ground. You know, you extract and then you sell. It's about what they do with that afterwards. All right, so they are adding. They actually starting to add value on their resources. So they are turning raw material into finished good. They are building industries, and they are manufacturing product and selling those products. So not just raw inputs anymore. So now look at Namibia. Look at Namibia. We are rich. I always say this, and we used to say this, and when we are fighting for our freedom, independence, we say, Namibia, Duliamba, we are rich in resources. We are rich in resources. We have much of the resources that some other countries don't have. Uranium, diamond, copper, fish, beef, lithium, you know. There's no question the country has been blessed with natural wealth. Eh? So we have been blessed with natural health. So, but here's the problem. Most of what we produce leaves the country in a raw form. And we don't seem to... And once it leaves, it processed elsewhere. Eh? It processed elsewhere. It becomes, maybe a diamond becomes a jewelry, lithium becomes batteries, you know, and packaged fish become packaged food, industrial product, you know, somewhere else, not in Namibia. And then it comes back to us at the much higher prices. So that's what we need to really to open our eyes and talk about. I know our leaders talks about it. They talk about it, but they don't seem to. It's also in NDP. Eh? It's also in NDP, but they don't seem to know how we can implement that. How do we add value to our resources? Now, consider this. So, and this, because a joint African continent free trade area analysis, there was an analysis, I think I looked at a few months ago or something, you know, estimate that Namibia could unlock around $816 million from African trade. And about $3.9 billion from a global trade through value addition and industrialization. And that's roughly $13 billion every year in potential economy value. You understand? Yeah? And $13 billion a year in a lost opportunity. That's a lost opportunity. Every single year. So the question has to be asked clearly and honestly, why in 2026 we are still exporting so many raw material? Why? Where are the factories? Those are the questions that we should be asking. You and I should be asking, wherever you find yourself, where are the factories? They were in our plans. They were in our NDPs. Eh? They were in our development goals. Where are the factories? Where are the processing plants? Where are the industries that turn lithium into batteries? Fish into packaged products? Mineral into finished goods? Where are they? And more importantly, where are the jobs for our young Namibians? That's a big question. Where are the jobs for young Namibians who have qualification but no work? That's the hard truth for many of us. So when a country depends mainly on a raw material export, it becomes vulnerable. Yeah? It becomes vulnerable. When global prices fall, for example, as we have seen, the economy feels immediately. It feels it immediately. There is no buffer. Yeah? We have come to learn that from fuel increase. Yeah? There is no buffer. And we will have actually to get money somewhere. And that money is being redirected. You remember what I said at the beginning? But when a country exports finished product, as we see other countries, it has option. Eh? It has control. It has bargaining power. It has resilience. Eh? So we are left with we are really left with a defining question. Eh? For you and me, you are left with a defining question. Which Namibia are we building? So far, as you're looking at where we are and how we're going, which Namibia are we building? A country that simply exports its wealth? Yes. Or a country that transforms its wealth into industries, jobs, long-term economic strength? That's what we want, but how long? Eh? How long we have to go? How long we have to export our wealth? So make sure that you read the article by Penehabeko. In today's edition of the Villager. So, yeah. But There is also something, this is not in the article, but something that we, I think some, it's spoken somewhere. And there's another, this is a puzzle that it doesn't get enough attention, I think. All right? So the serious weakness in our system, a serious sickness, not sickness, weakness in our system is its data. Yeah? Data. Namibia still struggle with collecting, connecting, and using reliable information. So, and that includes monitoring what is happening on the ground and properly evaluating where policies, whether policies are working. So the National Planning Commission is now working with the University of Namibia to improve this, especially in strengthening monitoring and evaluation system. And that's a step, I think that's a step in the right direction, of course. So, but here's the real question, okay? How do you manage a six-year national development plan? How do you manage that, the NDP 6, if you don't clearly know where you are right now? Do you understand? If you don't know where you are right now, how do you manage that? It's like trying to drive to, let's say, for example, you're trying to drive from Windhoek to Walvis Bay. But now you're trying to drive. Is this a nice picture? I'm trying. Yeah, you're trying to drive from Windhoek to Walvis Bay without a clean windscreen and without a speedometer. Okay. Now you might still move forward. Of course, you might still move forward. You might even get there. But you might also take a wrong turn and end up somewhere else, somewhere you never intended. You understand? Like maybe end up in Gobabis. Because you have no clean windscreen. You are without a speedometer. So that's the risk of weak data system. I think that's the risk of weak data system. So, and this is not just a technical issue. It's a leadership issue. It's a planning issue. It's a delivery issue. A very good morning. We lost you. So, whoa. I might have been lost. I might have been off. It's getting off and on. So we apologize for that. Some technical things going in. If the thing is going off, on and off, some technical issues. All right. A very good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Big Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Uncle Bora?
Fine, thank you.
Hmm.
Yeah, let me start with the questioning. So those the African proverb or whatever you say that who does not ask questions,
yeah,
also does not also maybe learn, or what did you say?
Yeah, we will. I will never find the path. I mean, he will never learn. Yeah,
exactly. I've actually discovered that, you know me, I ask a lot of questions. And I do ask.
Yeah.
That's why sometimes they call me, controversial, Bwana, controversial. Hey, what? Others are asking, bazooka.
Mm.
You know, because I boom up with questions, that curiosity for you to know.
Yeah, that's the way.
But I think the information... The information, especially the primary data, sometimes are being provided to us.
Mm.
For example, through Igolas and many platforms, radios.
Yeah.
So I'm mentioning this one because I do hear a lot of information being given. Maybe the issue is the really interpretation of those data and just to analyze them and apply them.
Yeah.
For example, if you look at issues of maybe where some economic opportunity might be emerging.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of information given. And maybe not so, sometimes not so simplified in the economic language that we can now hear very well and understand.
Yeah.
And then you're able to make some decision based on those kind of information that you are getting.
Yeah. Mm.
So the application, I believe, the interpretation and application of those information that is available, except where, you know, information are not reachable, like in their area, maybe connection and issues of that nature, those challenges and the facilities. But I believe information is plenty available. So if it's not really integrated, maybe into one-stop shop, like I'm hearing some of this.
You know one thing, Uncle Mbwana, you know, that's true. I think I do agree with you that the information sometimes is available. And you know when you come into trade fair, for example, trade fair that, let's say, for example, trade fair is in Enana or is somewhere in Oshikuku or is in Oshakati or Ngodiva. You know, much of the time when you go to these places, I mean to these stalls, their information are in English. Of course, we understand that it's an official language. But many people in that area who are coming to that trade fair, if you are maybe in Kiatmansoop or you're in Rundu, they speak a particular language. And sometimes you don't even find the information in that language. And that's something I always complain when I go to these stalls and ask them, why don't you have things in the language? Many people that are passing here, you know, don't understand this technical English.
Yeah, you are right.
So we need to really to put the information into the language that people understand. And we don't do that often. It's something that I have really always complained when I go to this place. So, or you go to the government official or government office sometimes, they have things translated in different language, but those now you don't find them there. Yeah, you find only English ones. And many people want the one that they understand better. And I think we need to do better in that regard.
Well, yeah, you are 100% correct.
Yeah.
So our indigenous language information must come through there.
Yeah.
And you know, many people have got budget also that they can also appropriate to those printing of document and things like that.
Yeah.
Like many, you know, some ministry like Minister of Gender, they always make sure that the file that will be distributed at those platforms that you're talking about are actually also converted into indigenous language. But if they can really do that, even if it's put in our language that we can understand, sometimes to just digest those kind of information and say, this is where I can go.
Yeah.
Last week I was reading in the newspaper where they are talking about small, medium enterprise having access to, can access 50,000 to 100 and all these things. And I'm sure this information may just go into the hand of those who are already have, who are, have existing business, small enterprises and things like that.
Yeah.
But those information that they are available, sometimes in our languages, if you read that information, it's also in our vernacular, but we don't value, say, even newspaper, for example.
Yeah, no, that's true.
We get information in the radio like yours,
Yeah,
that you are doing now, research and all these things. We don't get it.
We don't read.
We don't read. The touch of reading is a big problem.
Hmm.
So I believe if we can really create some serious awareness, like you are saying, and even when you go to those stores, ask the people questions. Sometimes people are not even willing to, you ask the question, so this one, where can I get access this fund, where this other one, you know, I used to participate in those platforms, and they are still going. I go there. So let's make use of the information that's available to us, so that we can then see if NDP and all these NDPs have not they have not reached some target. Yeah. Then we can then say, okay, here there is a gap. That means there was money budgeted for some of these activities, and if they are not taken up by, you know, then what? So who is going to be blamed for that?
Yeah.
Perhaps it's ourselves, or is it, of course, the government and the leadership, like you are saying, they have made those information available, and are they disseminated enough, or are they really explained, put in a simple way that people can understand? So thank you very much for the opportunity.
All right, man. Thank you for coming through.
Good.
All right. All right. I was talking about the risk of a weak data system, you know, and this is not, as I was saying earlier, I said this is not just a technical issue. This also, it's also a leadership issue. It's a planning issue. It is, it's a delivery issue, because when data is weak, you know, when data is weak, decisions become guesses. Yeah? You become guessing, you know, when you don't have the data, when you are not driven by evidence, evidence-based. Your decision become guesses. And when decision become guesses, development becomes slower and more expensive, because you're guessing, and sometimes you put up a building here, you put up a facility here, but you put it in the wrong place because you don't have evidence that shows you that that's where you should have put up that building, or you should have put up that building in the first place. You understand? So you become more expensive, it becomes less effective as well without data. As I said, without data, decision become guesses. You're just guessing. So we are now, we live in the era where planning is supposed to be evidence-based. Eh? That means real-time information, honest reporting, eh? A transparent system that show what is working and what is not. We are in that time. Eh? We shouldn't be guessing. So recent discussion around Namibia's planning system have also highlighted the need for a better data sharing across the government. Something that has been highlighted. Yeah, because information is often scattered. It's scattered across different ministries instead of being centralized, you know, and used for national planning and accountability. So that's a good direction. So that's a good direction. So, and let's be clear. You cannot properly implement a national development plan if you cannot properly measure progress. Eh? If you can't measure progress, you cannot properly implement national development plan. And maybe that's the problem that we have. Eh? So, and that leads to a simple but a powerful truth. Vision without measurement is just hope. Eh? A vision without measurement, it's just hope. It's hope. Hoping, and hope, I always said, hope, even if it's very, hope normally is inspiring, as it might be inspiring, it's not a strategy. Eh? As I said, with vision without measurement is just hope. You are just hoping that, you know, things turn out right. And hope is not a strategy. It might be inspiring, but it's not a strategy. So if NDP-6 is going to succeed, it won't just depend on money and policies. That's very clear. It will not just depend because we have money and because there are policies. It will depend on something less visible, but just as important. Whether Namibia is finally get serious about data, that's very important. Accountability and knowing exactly where it stands at every step of the journey. We need to know where do we stand at every step of the journey. So I'm going to ask you some question. I want you to reflect. This is also reflected in the maybe in the article as well. You know, just for us to think, really, okay? So and this is for everyone. That's not just for the government. Sometimes we tend just to ask questions for the government, but it's for you as well. It's for you, for me, for everyone listening, for you listening right now. Okay? So I want you to really consider that as you come through, as you may come through now, really consider some of this. Okay? So if, now, really think this carefully. If global shock keeps forcing us now, if global shocks keep forcing us to divert development money into subsidies just to keep the food and fuel affordable, when exactly do we finish building the Namibia we keep talking about? Now think about that. Think about where we are, all right, in terms of NDPs that we have been developing all the time. So if global shock keep forcing us to divert development, and we have done that. Look at our development budget this year, this financial year. So if that is forcing us to divert development money into subsidies just to keep, you know, to keep food and fuel affordable or commodities of necessity affordable, when exactly do we finish building the Namibia we keep talking about? Think about that seriously. All right? So it's something when I read the article, kind of like, okay, so you can see where we are, maybe because we're not resilient enough to any external shock. Eh? Now, the other thing that I want to ask you is the currency peg. Is the currency peg with South Africa, with the South African rand, still working for us? Is it still working for us? For those of you in the know-how, okay? For those of you who are in the know-how, is it still working for us? Or are we stuck in a system that keep us stable? Yes, it may be keeping us stable because that's what we hear, but also limit our independence. It limits our independence. What are we really giving up in exchange for that stability? Is there something that we are giving up, eh, in that exchange for that stability? It's something that we need to look at. Is the currency peg with South African rand still working for us? Because if South Africa move, we move. Eh? We have no choice. Think about it as something that we talk about, eh? Something we can discuss about. And my other question is, like, after 36 years of independence, why is Namibia still largely exporting raw materials instead of finished product? I said largely, eh? Now, my question now is actually, is there someone who is benefiting from that structure? Who actually benefiting from that structure? Someone is benefiting from that structure. And or who actually stand in the way when we try to change it? Or are we trying to change it? We're talking about it, but who actually benefiting from that structure? And who stand in the way, eh, when we try to change it? You can see that the president is fired up. The president is fired up. But who actually stand in the way as we try to change this? Maybe we need to look deeper. Seriously, we need to look. We also, not just talking about it, we need to look deeper. That is this structure benefiting somebody? Eh? And who stand in the way as we now trying to change this, to reform this? Think about it. Eh? Think about it. You know, and talk about it. So, and the other thing is that when we describe NDP6 as ambitious, you know, it's ambitious, do we mean it as a genuine confidence in our future? Or are we just hoping things work out without, you know, fully confronting the obstacles? Because we have obstacles and we don't seem to be confronting them. Yeah. So some of those things, some of those questions for us to think about. So that's the issue the article it's actually dealing with. So and the most important thing, actually, another question maybe is, what role do you play in all of this? Sometimes we only think of the MPs, the ministers, the president, the whatever. What role? Because we have to build this country, all of us. Because here's the truth. Government plans don't build countries on their own. You know, policy don't create change by themselves. People do. Okay? Every citizen, every business owners, every young person trying to find their path. People do. And all of us shape whether this plan succeed or fail. We are the one who has to shape whether it succeed or it fails. So this isn't just about leaders, it's about all of us. Okay? And maybe that's the real question we should be asking today. Are we just waiting for change, or are we part of building it? Come through. Are you just waiting for change, or are we part of building it? So you must take responsibility as well. All right. 08333-66091. We're coming to you live. We are live from Ondangwa Studio. 08333-66091. So you may come through. Have your say. Have your reaction. So we find the article in today's edition of the Villager. So that was what we were unpacking. All right. So 08333-66091.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yeah, that's right. This is your number one talk radio station, and you're in the company of the Big Mac. All right, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Days. Today, we unpack three main points, I think. Yeah, three main points. The Bank of Namibia has raised the repo rate to 6.75. The goal is to protect the currency peg with South Africa, with South African rand, and to manage inflation. That is being pushed up by global instability and also conflict beyond our control. Okay, so that's one area that we have unpacked. Secondly, is that NDP6 is full of ambition, okay? But it is being launched into a difficult global environment. Now, instead of focusing only on long-term development project, government is often forced to redirect money to short-term relief, so helping citizens actually coping now with the rising cost of food and fuel. So that's the second part that we looked at. And the third part, now, is the deeper structural problem, okay? The deeper structural problem is not just the global shock, okay? It's not just the global shocks. It is that Namibia still relies heavily on exporting raw materials, you know, and importing finished goods. We still rely heavily on exporting raw materials. And I think So I just believe that we really don't know how to get out, how to change that. Eh? So, and that means we give away value and buy it back in a higher price. A real transformation depends on value addition, not just extraction as we know. So now the bottom line is that Namibia does not lack potential. We don't lack potential. That has never been the issue. You know, the real challenge are execution. Agency. I think more agency. I think I would go for agency. There is no agency. Eh? So everybody, but then, you know, that momentum start to slow down. Eh? Urgency. Knowing that this is a problem and we need to address it. And the willingness to make tough economic shift happen. Willingness to make tough economic shift. Sometimes it's also about whether there is enough political courage. Eh? Political courage to act on what we are already know needs to change. It's not that we don't know. Eh? So that political courage to change or to act on what, as I said, we already know that that needs to change. Yeah, I want to hear from you. This is Unpacking the Day. And do you believe NDP6 will deliver a real result? Eh? Or will it become another plan that sounded strong on paper, but never fully made it into reality? Just like the others. So what do you think? 08333-66091, 08333-66091. All right. Waiting for your reaction. I'm waiting to hear from you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next week.
A very good morning to you.
Yes, big man, how are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm all right, man. How was the weekend?
Well, yeah. Which African team that won, actually? None of them? Senegal.
Only Egypt.
Yeah, only Egypt won actually last night.
Yeah, they won. Yeah.
This morning, not last night. This morning. Yeah.
Yeah.
But and couple birthday actually surprises me. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm proud of it. You also.
Yeah. No, they play a very good football. You know, really, really good football. Yeah. So they feel confident in the way they play. They don't panic. They are well organized. So I really feel that Cabo Verde is they may come through as well. You know, to the next.
Yeah, match. Very much. If they just win the next match, I'm sure, because I don't know who are playing and who's getting the next match.
I think the next time they're playing they played New Zealand, which was the easy, actually Cabo Verde was supposed to be the easy team in that group.
They were
the one supposed to be the very easy team to easy beat in game. That group. Because there's Spain there, there's what else? There's Uruguay.
Spain, who was the other country, man?
Yeah, so and then there's another team. Obviously. I think it's much weaker than those two.
It's weak because they even lost, I think, 4-0 or 4-1 to
Spain.
Spain. I forgot, but they win 4-0.
Is it Haiti?
Oh, yeah, it's Haiti. Yeah. Haiti is there, yeah.
I think it's Haiti.
If I'm not mistaken, Haiti, then cannot. Who's this man? Cannot be Australia. Yeah. Then I'm sure it's Haiti, man.
Yeah, Spain beat someone 4-0. What was it? Yeah. That, actually, I can't remember now. Yeah.
Me too. Yeah. Anyway, how is the morning, man?
So the morning is fine. So it's Monday morning. So yeah, that's great. It's great. It's new week.
Yeah.
Mm.
We don't have a bro Monday at all. We are pushing.
Yeah.
Anyway, that Mike, when it comes to our strategy, NDP, Harambe, you talk about it, all those the development, towards like Vision 2030, now we don't talk about it, now we are talking about Vision 2016 for African, you know. My friend, for me, is that I think political will is not there in Namibia when it comes to this thing to implement it.
Yeah.
We are not implementing the policy which is supposed to take us further because there are some people who are still making money for the illegal way.
Mm.
Because otherwise, if we enforce those policies, I'm telling you, there are people who are not going to make money the way they are making it now.
My question, you know, I had a question. My question was actually, really, after 36 years of independence, so, and when we're looking at the way we are, we still one of the countries that are exporting, we largely exporting our raw materials still, you know, why? Who actually benefiting from that structure? And yeah, who stand in the way when we try to, as we try to reform this, it looks like there are some system or agencies that are in the way. Because maybe somebody is profiting from that structure.
Yeah, there are some people who are profiting it out of it. Namibian people. Because Mike, we are talking about even like now we have lithium. How can you not even tell the Chinese to set up the factory? You know, when in China, they know what they are doing.
Of course.
They are paying out our position not to implement our policy.
Yeah.
Because they know when they implemented it and they are being forced to process in Namibia, their people are losing jobs on the other side.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm telling you. There are people who are benefiting out of that.
Yeah, it's people who seeing value in something and then take that value into their country, you know?
Yeah.
That's where now people, that's where the things are being processed and that's where the jobs are, that's where the skills are, that's, you know, yeah.
Yeah, that's why, Mike, if you look today, you cannot tell me, even timbers, my friend, we are exporting the timbers, those people to make chairs and what, and then they return back as a table and a cupboard.
Yeah, last time I was saying, we found it easier to export, actually, to import than actually to export in terms of we find it easier to import than to produce, you know.
Yeah, you see.
It's because it has become, I think there is also this I don't want to say legacy, not legacy, but a tendency that we inherited from apartheid and from colonial way. So where we have meant to be dependent, and we're not getting out of that syndrome, you know.
Mike, that mindset, we are not
getting out.
We're supposed to get out, but the problem also, we continue with it.
Yeah.
We continue, and then we think it is okay the way we are. Because remember one thing, that now, even us, we grow up in the North, we know what was our aim. The whole year you have a plan, even you didn't draw up in the paper. You know, Kocha, when you're starting learning, it's time for growing. And it's not even the piece of paper, but you know exactly in your head already.
Yeah, something.
But now we are changing to that method of waiting everything to be done.
Yeah.
Then you go and buy in the shop, easy way.
Yeah, you're right. That's a mindset we haven't strengthened. We had a mindset where we know we need to, where it was focused on work.
Yeah.
It was focused on work, and what you eat. Yeah. But now we are put, but the government also pushing us in that way, because when you push us from where you used to get your earning, now where are you? You're sitting in a kabashu waiting for the government to actually supply.
To supply you food for food bangmus.
Yeah, because they take away your field. They have taken away your field. They haven't given you a job. You know, you're sitting at home.
Then you start complaining, when is our food relief coming?
Yeah.
Whatever.
And if it's done 1 year, the second year, it becomes a habit that you become actually used to that, and that's just obvious. Waiting. Yeah?
Looking every time. If you take the animal, like even, let me give you an example of a pig.
Yeah.
Until now, I'm going to go to the tenyefenyi kulia, andi andiki nyangere. Whatever.
Yeah.
Nani nao, seo seo tulina she, nga hao kucha. Uwete nana kucha, there's a gap there. Mala, uwete kwa fa wapati wa madorongo.
Mm-hmm.
Kuchito jim. Then, o system mane, South Africa is benefiting out of that. You see?
Yeah,
that's why we are. Yeah. Kucho, again, everything from South Africa. Just imagine kucha, nando, ne nande hatu complain ngo if mbuli mwesha kuta kutuwa una complacent of the benefit of case or somehow when you think about it kuta yes this is Namibia na it's better but why we cannot do it in a land scale non-power supply so lande ya nunga itamono orushen if it can be done by individual people whatever tarewe kuta pemi atu kwa eskom non-power pemi kwa nyingi kwa imagine ya kwa faa. Yeah, generating a solution of women, unapoi kwa 70% ya women ya generator. But the 70% we are getting out, we are sourcing out.
That's why I said, we found it easy, we found it to import, then actually produce.
Then producing ourselves.
Huh?
Yeah, do you remember that time, just give us until 20, maybe even 2030. Otoa ngoka anagashino kududoku. Those who are marathon tickets and they can running marathon, I can't get shake them out in Nande because we are buying. We are getting everything there. What the local is who win a Sukutuni? I don't know who's a good. We are laughing, but this is a serious matter, my friend.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
So, see, we are not changing anything at all. How long have we been attaching our money to South Africa?
Yeah.
Namibian dollar. Why we cannot dealing it? Because the moment South Africa is going down,
We're
also going down.
Yeah, no, we are told it's stability, it's about stability, but you know, how are we is there something that we're losing? We first of all, it limits our independence. And what are we really, what I'm asking is that, what are we really giving up in exchange of that stability? We could be losing, we could be giving up a lot of things, you know, than just, then with that exchange of stability. Yeah?
There's a lot that you are losing. You are losing out of employment, the creativity.
Mm.
You are losing out of the value, additional value. You are losing out even like economical wise. There are so many things which we are supposed to get the benefit out of. I'm telling you, that's why I told you that time, the relationship between Namibia and the South is toxic. It's like that boyfriend of beating you, that girlfriend of every time, but she's telling, no, this is my provider.
Yeah.
It's where we are, because I'm telling you, that's why South Africa doesn't want even us to look at Angola.
So okay.
Angola is just bad.
Namibia is like having an abusive boyfriend, South Africa.
Yeah, exactly. South Africa is it's an abusive boyfriend, that one. I'm telling you, beating you up and then he's like, it's you're even going to report. But is my family saying you are bad? Mike is the one who's saying, you see? But Mike is come there when they're saying, I need the Mike. And that's how we do it when we are facing dramas, we are like, no, Namibia is a small country. We are going out to source a loan.
Yeah.
You see, but some people just here the next door, but they are not even like doing anything to upgrade our economy because they know their people are benefiting. Just look at the wherever, even you talk about a niche market which are coming in Namibia, especially when it comes to retailers. Where's our Namibian people? Participating, especially black, we don't have nothing anymore. We are just focusing on South Africa. And you remember the other time I'm saying, guys, it's a hard time. If these people who are having this side of the red line to stay off their economy, and we as a Namibian, and the people are saying, no, we cannot because you guys may end up dying for anger. But if you look at the market of Angola, my friend, even though we didn't look deep, everything, Angola is producing everything. My colony, you talk about anything is there. But our government is saying everything from Angola is dead. Okay, whiskey, okay, I got to find my Vafomotina. Vafomotina. Very
bad. Oka bomza. There was this bomza. Yeah. I was at one time.
Yeah,
I was,
tofu,
somebody,
yeah.
Someone brought me something. Bumuza or bomu, bumuza.
Oh, bumuza was something, yeah.
Bumuza.
Even if their content is milk or whatever, you name it. Macaroni, spaghetti, everything so cheap in Angola.
But are those produced in Angola or they imported where they found it much cheaper or what?
But Angola, mostly small percent are coming from Portugal and Brazil. But I'm telling you, when we are talking about four motina, Angola is producing themselves. They are having a big, and when it comes to macaroni also, they are producing rice. We talk about they are producing. Angola, they are having big farmers than us. When it comes to producing the food.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are having a big farms. Only it may be, I think, which they are lacking a bit also when it comes to what? Beef. Mm-hmm. Beef there, even the fish, we are talking about fish. In Angola, it's very cheap. Comparing to us, even you can find any fish with one in Angola for cheap price. Yeah. Comparing to us, monga mume na mbiti rande. Monga
inland. Big market. Angola is a big market, you know. So
yeah, it's very big. If you compare Namibia with the GDP and the Angola, we are far, yeah. Very very far. And most of people, like, when the way we are looking at Angola down, when you sing Ojibwe here, we think everybody's poor in Angola. But no, it's not like that. That's why I told you, Tundra, Africa, make him a young okay coach and later was.
Yeah, no, the thing is this. The thing is exactly actually the same in Africa, where you have, the country have resources, but it's only a few people that are actually benefiting from that resources. Yeah. So
and that is an issue in Angola also.
Yeah,
but much of them only if you are not educated. But if you are educated in Angola, my friend, just 6 months you are off. Not like Namibia, you are educated, but you stay for 10 years without a job. That's the problem.
All right.
Okay, man.
Great, man.
Sure.
All right. All right, our telephone number, 08-333-66091, 08-333-66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
A very good morning to you. Welcome back to Unpacking the Day. So I'm your host, Big Mike. All right, let's move on to something that equally affect every one of us, and that's actually taxes. Okay, that's even more important. Taxes. And before you say, well, I don't pay tax, okay, I don't pay tax, think again. You do. If you buy airtime, you pay tax. If you put fuel in your car, you pay tax. If you buy groceries, clothes, or just about anything else, you are paying tax in one way or another. One way or another, you are paying tax. So that's because many taxes are built into the prices we pay every day. Okay, so whether you are employed, self-employed, a student, or a pensioner, you know, you are part of the tax system. You are part of a tax system. And that means today's story is about you, okay? This story now is definitely about you. So, Stay with me as we unpack this issue that affect your money, your right, and the service you rely on every day. So, yeah, let's unpack it together. So, now, let me ask you a question, okay? Let me ask you a question. Every year, the government collects money from us through taxes. Most of us accept that because we know that. We know the country needs roads, needs schools, needs hospitals, needs other public services. We accept that. But what happens when you believe that tax authorities have made a mistake? What happens when you disagree with the amount they say you owe them? When they say you owe this, what happens when you disagree? Or where do you go? First of all, where do you go? And who hears your side of the story? Now, for many years, Namibia struggled with that question. Many people felt the system was complicated, slow in the first place, and also difficult to navigate. It was difficult. You don't know where to go, what to, who to go to, and all that. So, now, the government say it has a solution. Now, the government say we have a solution. It wants to create a tax court to deal with that tax dispute. All right? Now, but not everyone is convinced. Not everyone is convinced. Some people believe this could make the system fair, you know, much fairer. If you are more fair, most fair. Yeah, to make the system more fair and give taxpayer a better chance to challenge decisions. Okay? Others are asking whether it will really help, would it really help ordinary Namibians? Or whether it will just mainly benefit large companies. Normally large companies are the one with the money, those who can afford, you know, expensive legal advice. So would it really benefit the ordinary Namibians? Or is just this is meant for the bigger companies? So this morning we are unpacking what this proposed tax court could mean for you. Okay? What does it mean? What could it mean for you? Your right as a taxpayer, and the future of tax dispute in Namibia. So what it means for you and for your rights as a taxpayer and the future of dispute in Namibia. So, well, still cold, grab your coffee, you know, settle in, let's talk taxi. Not taxi, like a taxi, you know, a tax. Okay? Now, I love giving you a background, okay, so that I pull you in so that you understand where we're coming from. So back in 2021, Namibia High Court made a major ruling. The court found that the old system for handling tax dispute, known as the Special Tax Court, that's how it was known, it was unconstitutional. So in a simple terms, the court say the system was not in line with the constitution. Okay? Why? Because there was a conflict of interest. The conflict of interest was that the same government ministry responsible for collecting taxes also had significant influence over the court that deal with tax disputes. So that's the conflict of interest. So in other words, if a taxpayer wanted to challenge a tax decision, the system did not appear to be fully independent. So, and think about it in this way, okay? Think about it in this way. If you are arguing against a decision, you want the person hearing you, I mean the person hearing your case, to be completely neutral. That is the basic principle of fairness. Our constitution guarantees everyone the right to a fair hearing, okay? That's what our constitution guarantees. The higher court found that the old arrangement did not actually provide enough independence to meet that standard. Okay? You following? So as a result, the special tax court could no longer continue in its existing form. It couldn't continue in the way it's existing now, in the form it's existing now. So because it's unconstitutional, all right? So that left Namibia with a challenge, okay? Now it left Namibia with a challenge. Tax dispute still need to be, of course, to be resolved. But there was no dedicated court to handle them, okay? So now those disputes still need to be done, still need to be, you know, resolved, but there was no dedicated dedicated court to handle those disputes. So many cases had to rely now on the ordinary court system, and you know how those ordinary court, you know, they are already overworked, overloaded, you know? So they has already been overloaded. So now there's a gap, emerged, okay? Now the government under the finance minister, Erika Shafuda, is proposing a new and independent tax court. Okay? She's proposing a new and independent tax court. Now, if you look at it, if you look at the proposal on paper, it sounds like a positive step. A more independent system could give taxpayer a greater confidence that their cases will be heard fairly. I think, yeah, so in that way. But the big question is this. Will the new court truly make it easier for ordinary Namibian? That's the question. Ordinary Namibian to challenge tax decision. Would it make it more easier? Or will it mainly serve those with money, as I said at the beginning, and resources, maybe those who have resources, to actually fight? Sometimes this take long times, you know, to fight lengthy battles, those lengthy legal battles. So would it be? Will it mainly serve those ones? Or would it actually help the ordinary Namibians to challenge tax decision when it comes to dispute? So that is the question that we need to unpack this now. This is what we need to unpack right now. Okay? Now, let's look. What is changing? What is the proposal now? Okay? Let's look at that. Let's understand it first in its entirety. So what is exactly changing? Okay? Listen carefully. This is very important. And I'm going to break it down for you. Okay? The biggest change is that the new tax court will no longer fall under the finance minister. Okay? Instead, it will form part of the higher court system. It's coming, it's now moving away from the finance minister. So the judge president will decide which judge hear the tax cases. So it's not the Ministry of Finance anymore. Now, probably let's look at why this is actually important. Why does that matter? Because it creates some distance between now the people who collect taxes and the people who decide tax dispute. You see? So in simple terms, this, the government can no longer be seen as both a player and the referee. You know, as it was. They were both the player and the referee. And that's an important step. That's a very important step for fairness and for democracy as well. That's a very important fairness, you know, step. All right? Now, so you're clear about that. Now, the second change is that there will be a clear process of handling disputes. Okay? If you disagree with the tax assessment from NAMRA, for example, you won't go straight to court. Your first stop will be a tax tribunal. So there's still a tax tribunal. So if you are still unhappy with the outcome in the tax tribunal, then you can then take the matter to the tax court. So at least on paper, that creates more structured system and give taxpayers a clear path, you know, to follow. But in creating more structured system, you're also creating, you know, bureaucratic and lengthy and red tapes. Okay? So So that's the second change. The third change involved to manage the system. Okay? So in the past, many of the administrative power around the tax disputes sat with the finance minister. Under the new proposal, those power will move now to NAMRA's commissioner, you know. So, and to be fair, that makes sense. NAMRA was actually created to handle tax administration. It was created to handle tax administration independently, so that the law is now being, updated, you know, to reflect the way things already work in practice. So some people would argue that, well, change is long overdue, you know. So, yeah. Now, why should now the question maybe we need to look at here is now, why would you care about this, actually? You know, why would Namibia care about any of this? Okay? One, I think we need to look that trust is, because trust institution matters. Okay? We need to trust institutions. So when local business and foreign investors, especially foreign investors, even local businesses, so look at Namibia, they want to know that if a dispute arises, there is an independent and a credible system to deal with it. You understand? As a business person, that's what you want to see. So they want to, you know, they want confidence that decision will be made fairly and not influenced by politics or conflict of interest, because there has been a conflict of interest in the previous system. So a respected tax court, I think that sent a signal that Namibia takes the rule of law seriously. In a way, it does. And when investors have confidence in a country institution, so they are more likely actually to invest. They are more likely to invest, they are more likely to expand their businesses, and they are more likely to create jobs. All right? So as I said, I think for me, in some way, but there are other challenges that we're going to look at. It sent a signal that Namibia takes the rule of law seriously. All right? And that also, we are removed from a gray list. Okay? Just to think of that. Namibia is actually removed from the gray list. So things like that give confidence to investors and to the world outside Namibia. You understand? So yes, there are positive aspects to this proposal. But before we celebrate, we need to ask a few tough questions. So now, one thing is this. Will this new system really make, the question is that, will it make life easier, especially for ordinary taxpayers? Eh? That's the biggest concern. Will it improve? The thing is, will it now improve access to justice? That's normally the intention, but it may become expensive when when you need it, it might be expensive for you. So as I said earlier, would it mainly benefit large companies and people who can afford lawyers and lengthy legal battles? So that's a very important thing. Would it really make life easier for ordinary taxpayers? Would it improve access to justice? And that's where the debate really begins. That's where the debate, I think, really begins. Who really benefits? Who really benefits? Now, let's put it in here. Let's I look at other countries as well. You know, think of other countries. Now, Namibia has a population of just over 3 million people. Okay? Over 3 million people. That is smaller than, when you think of that, even that's smaller than many cities around the world. Not even city, township, or Soweto. Soweto, for example, in South Africa, have over 6 million people. So, it's smaller than, as I said, there are cities that actually have even 10 million. Rwanda, for example, have over 10 million people. Eh? Rwanda. So, the other thing is also that our economy is relatively small. And the number of people and business that paying taxes, that pay formal taxes, is even smaller. Eh? It's even smaller. So a large part of our economy operates informally, as we know. Maybe a large part of our economy operate informally. Think about the market traders. Think about tax operators. Think about street vendors. You know, small business across the towns, like, you know, Shakati, Katima, Mulilo, you know, Swakopmund. Many of them are outside the former tax system. They are outside of that. So that means the responsibility for funding government largely fall on a relatively small group of taxpayers. Business and individual who carry a significant share of the tax burden. Very small. Now, as I said, here's where now the debate starts. So, if you look, for example, in South Africa, you have some special court. Special court, this is a special court, and sometimes this kind of specialized court are not cheap. They are not cheap. They need judges with specialist knowledge, okay? Administrative staff, office space, ongoing funding, and ongoing funding for this. So, in countries with large economies and thousands of tax disputes, now when you have like South Africa, where you have thousands of tax disputes every year, you know, often have a dedicated now tax court because they need them. You understand? Because they need them, isn't it? Now, think of Namibia now, but does Namibia have enough complex? You can come through and tell me. So does Namibia have enough complex tax dispute to justify an entirely separate court? And think about this, as I research up this and said this is specialized court. They are not cheap. They are not cheap. Now, the question is, does Namibia have enough complex tax dispute? Do we have really complex tax dispute to justify an entirely separate court? And that's a fair question, I think. It is a fair question. Because you have some people argue that the number of highly technical tax cases in Namibia is limited. You have people who are saying, well, seriously, highly technical tax cases in Namibia are limited. We simply don't have the same volume of tax litigation as larger economies like South Africa, for example. What we do have are courts that are already dealing with a heavy workload and case backlogs. So, and some taxpayers are asking whether creating another specialized institution will solve a problem or simply add another layer of a cost and bureaucracy. So there are those who are asking that. So the government has argued that, a dedicated tax court would improve the handling of the tax dispute and strengthen confidence in the system. But here's the question that really matters. Will this new tax court help ordinary Namibians? I keep asking that question. Will it, or will it mainly, benefit large corporation? Or wealthy individual who can afford tax expert or accountant or lawyers? Now, think about the small business owners who receive a tax assessment from NAMRA and believe it is wrong, okay? Now, the person may first have to go through a tax tribunal, and then, if he's still dissatisfied, take the matter to the court. Now, legal representation, expert advices, and, well, sometimes your time away from your office, from running business, all cost money. All that costs money. If ordinary taxpayer cannot realistically afford to use the system, then access to justice becomes a privilege rather than actually a right, as it we meant to say. And that should concern all of us. All right? So, then there is, there is an issue of, there's also another issue worth discussing, confidentiality. Under the proposal, tax court hearing would not be open to the public. Okay, would not be open to the public. And now, to be fair, I think to be fair, there's a good reason for that. Even if it was me, you know, tax cases often involve some sensitive financial information. You know, most people would not want their income or asset or debt. I don't want my debts and my business affairs becoming a public knowledge. So I think for some, I would say that's understandable. But there's also an element. Too much secrecy can create another problem. All right? A very good morning to you.
Yeah, I would say.
Yes, that's Mike.
Yeah.
You know what they are saying? To increase the investor confidence.
Yeah.
In Namibia, that's what they are saying. Because now, if you look, it's not all about us, Namibian.
Yeah.
Because especially the people with the same business. It's about the people up there who already have. They are the one already are going to have that confidence that now they are going to be handled. Their case are going to be handled well.
Yeah.
But if you just remember,
there's a system that would protect me. Yeah.
Yeah, but for us small business, I'm telling you, may end up suffering the consequence of establishing of that court.
Yeah.
Because remember, much of us, we don't know even how the form return is to be what to be filled. That's why every time we are conducting these guys who are doing even business, designing business for us, all the accountant. No, but not all of us we are having accountant in business.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it will be an issue really. Instead of maybe they are supposed to come up with education first before they come up with a court. Because remember one thing, how many people are suffering at the end of what, NAMRA? I'm talking about even people who are middle, having what, business somewhere like taking off, like in the north. I'm telling you, a lot of them, they are complaining about NAMRA.
Oh yeah, no, that's a lot of us actually are not happy with some of the
system. NAMRA, we are entering the, exactly. And just imagine now, if you're having a court, because this court is even going to guarantee to be having a Walenda Lester.
And imagine those things are the court normally postpone things for years, like okay, this will be dealt in the next year or something.
Yeah,
like
next year.
Yeah, and so those are issues. Yeah,
it will be a problem. Really, I think somehow they're supposed to have education first.
Yeah.
Before they come up with a court, because now. We understand, but at least they supported like a blanche somewhere, even at the high court, the ways to deal with it. But the establishment.
But the other question is that how many cases of, I mean, tax dispute cases are in a country of technical quality that require a court? How many?
They are not even a lot. Yeah. Not even a lot, my friend. Yeah. Except those one who are doing fraud or whatever they call. Yeah, activity.
You mean one or two in the whole year, you know?
Yeah.
And what would the judges and the administration staff would be doing, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
No. I think it's a waste of money, waste of time. Really, they're supposed to do better than things which are really affecting this country instead of coming up with something like that.
Yeah, but in itself, it's a good move. But I think it should be done in understanding the Namibian situation. You understand?
Yeah, and where
the move is good. The move is actually, I think it's fine. But as a court that is independent, it becomes a little bit strict.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Especially, I think they're supposed to come up with something maybe to oversee those minds who are getting away with a lot of things. But a court, I don't have any confidence in them, really.
Yeah.
Maybe, let us see. Since they meant it to come, we will see how far they are going with it.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Mike.
Okay, great. All right. Welcome. How many minutes? Oh, still have just 4 minutes left. Yeah, I think, you know, I think at its core, tax is about, it's about relationship between government and citizen. You know, I always see as a relationship between government and citizen, it's a two-way kind of agreement. You know, the government say, pay your taxes, and we will provide you with services. You know, we will build a road for you, we will run school for you, we will stock hospital, which are failing with medicines, and keep the country functioning. As I said, it's a way. And then citizens say, that's fair. We pay our taxes. But in return, we expect to be treated fairly. We expect professionalism. We expect accountability. So that's how the system is supposed to work. Okay? That's how it's supposed to work. Over the past few years, NAMRA has been, you know, really pushing hard to improve tax compliance. And that's understandable. So the government needs revenue, and every dollar counts, especially in a challenging economy like ours. So, but compliance should never be a one-way street, okay? It shouldn't be a one-way street. If taxpayers are expected to follow the rules, well, the government must also follow the rules. Government must be transparent. Government must be accountable. Government must treat taxpayers fairly, you know? So, and that's why this tax code, it also matter. It does matter. If it works properly, it could strengthen trust between taxpayers and the state. It could give people confidence that dispute will be handled fairly and independently. So, but that will only happen if the court deliver in practice, you know? And it must be quick. As I said, things can be delayed, and you know, it must be quick, it must be affordable, and it must be genuinely independent. Not just on paper, but in reality. So, and this is where I have a concern. Having watched Namibia for many years, I have noticed that we are very good at creating institutions. We are very good at creating institutions. We have commissions, we have agencies, we have authorities, we have directorates. So we have no shortage of structures and frames and frameworks. We don't. The challenge has never really been creating institutions. That has not been a challenge. The challenge has been making them work. Okay, that has been the challenge, making them deliver results. That has been the challenge, making them provide a real value to people who fund them, the taxpayers. That has been the challenge. So when we talk about creating a new tax code, so the question isn't whether it's legally necessary, I think. That's not the question. After the higher court ruling, I think some form of independent system is clearly needed. I think that's very important to know. The real question is whether this court will work for Namibia as it actually exists today. Eh? Will it serve ordinary taxpayers? Eh? Will it resolve dispute efficiently? Will it accessible? Will it be accessible to people outside? Let's say, for example, outside Windhoek. Eh? Will it provide value to the money spent on it? Eh? We will spend money on it. Will it now provide value? So, because at the end of the day, a new institution is only as good as the service it delivers. All right? And that is the test this new tax court will ultimately have to pass. That's the test they need to pass. All right? 1 minute past the hour of 10. That means it brings us to the end of our unpacking the day today. And thank you for those who come through and those who have contributed to the show. So it's Monday morning. So let's see what we can come up and who can get, you know, for tomorrow. Let's do this again at the same time from 8 to 10 o'clock. So for me, Michael Chevalier, I will leave you in the good, capable hand of Tate France and Balangaja, who will take over from me and will hand over, you know, the mic to Windhoek, so that Tate France can, you know, take you through what Kuthamosha has prepared for you this morning. It's a good morning. So have a good, have a very productive week and a good day as the days progress. Continue to listen to the shows that are coming your way throughout the day today. So from me, Manko Chevalier, goodbye until tomorrow.